Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello again, everybody. And here we have another guest with us today. Her name is Phoenix Gould. Phoenix is, she leverages 30 years of experience with her own healing journey to help her clients develop a core that can't be shaken by circumstances. She specializes in facilitating healing for women traumatized by narcissistic encounters. She developed the core healing technique to provide her clients with profoundly transformative experiences so that change is permanent and feels easy. She is passionate about bringing it to a wider audience in the hopes that it can be of service to women in this often confusing and painful healing journey. She currently spreads her magic through workshops, group coaching sessions, one-on-one interviews, healing sessions, and an engaging Facebook group. You can tell I'm 55, right? My eyes can't see. So I'm reading. Well, welcome, Phoenix. I'm so happy to have you here. And it sounds like you do amazing work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So tell everybody how, I'm assuming since you specialize in working with narcissistic people that are suffering from narcissistic relationships, that was your experience?
Yes. I grew up with a narcissistic mother.
Okay.
And had to work for many, many years, you know, through my own her healing journey to be able to live my life the way I am able to live it now.
So yes. Tell me a little bit more, like what, for the listeners out there, explain. I know most people think narcissism is only a spouse. I've had so many people say to me, oh, well, I didn't live with narcissism. My husband is this. And I'm like, well, your mother most certainly had some narcissistic tendencies. So what were some things growing up that you had to experience?
Well, what I experienced was that I couldn't really be myself, right? Because when we live with a narcissist, we only experience conditional love, which means that we never feel that as we are, who we are is enough. In fact, we learn the opposite, right? That there's something with us, something wrong with us at the core, and that we have to try really hard to get that love, to get that approval from our mother or our father. And when we don't conform, you know, for me, when I didn't quite get it right, because you have to get it just right, then they would be rages. And my mom would sometimes beat me. She would shame me, lock me in my room. So I think the big gist of it is that I never felt that I was enough, that I was lovable, and that I had to walk on eggshells every single day to make sure that I was safe. And so I learned a lot of behaviors that did not serve me later on in my life, where I was people-pleasing, trying to get the attention from the outside and the love through being a chameleon.
Absolutely. I love that word, being a chameleon. You literally changed, blended in with wherever you were, but at the same time had to change at the drop of a dime to protect yourself, really just to be able to survive. Was there also addiction or alcoholism, drug addiction or anything else with that? Or was it just the narcissistic personality?
I was lucky in that sense that it was just the narcissistic personality. Yes. It could have been a lot worse.
Okay. I'm going to apologize for saying just because yes, I'm thinking exclusively. I should have used the word exclusively instead of just, because there is nothing just simple about growing up with a narcissistic parent.
And at the same time, I think you're right. You know, I have clients who have narcissistic parents compounded with drug abuse. And that makes it actually does make it a lot worse.
Well, and I think, you know, I mean, the traits of a narcissist person, when you take the drug and the the extra aggression thrown in there with the alcoholism and the blackouts where they don't even remember what they're saying, there is literally zero communication. There can't be. Because, I mean, a narcissist is going to deny it and turn it around and make it your fault anyway. But if they're also drinking, they truly don't even remember saying it, possibly. I mean, I know my mother was very narcissistic and she was also an alcoholic. And so she would do a lot of blackout drinking where she would say things, terrible things, and then tell me I was crazy because she would have never said that, you know?
So there's even an added lack of not accountability. Like
Exactly.
it's even
Exactly.
worse, even less accountability than any narcissist would have. Yes.
So when did you have your, I always ask people, well, I don't always on every episode, but usually there's an aha moment. There's a moment where you all of a sudden go, okay, enough is enough. I've got to change. When was that moment for you?
Oh my God. I think I had several along the way, but the biggest one was probably when I was around 43. Actually, it took me that long to figure out that my mother was a narcissist. I believed for many, many years that she had borderline personality disorder and had a lot of empathy for her and tried to help, because borderline personality or disorder is healable. And so I tried to get her into therapy, for many, many years, but it wasn't until I was 43, that's now 8 years ago, that I realized that the missing pieces that didn't quite fit in with the borderline personality disorder, I found when I found descriptions of narcissism. And that was the moment when I realized, oh my God, wow. I mean, once you realize that you are dealing with a narcissist, the whole world changes because they're not the people we perceive normal people to be. So you have to be very different. You have to try and wrap your mind around the person who has no capacity for empathy.
So, yeah, and that makes total sense because, like you said, when you thought it was just the I don't say just again, when you thought she just, when she had the personality disorder, then it was, you could go at it like, okay, she has a disease. I need to be empathetic. I got to walk in her shoes and try to help her and try to make her understand. And at the same time, once you, I mean, this is years, you probably did this your whole teenage life
Yes.
and tried to coddle her and be nice to her. And how would it have been different if you, do you think if you had known at 16 that she literally had no emotion and anything you said was going right in one ear and out the other?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a really good question. If I had known earlier, I think I could have stopped trying so hard to prove to her that I loved her. Because that was the theme, nobody loves me. And I thought, oh my God, if she only knew how much she was loved, then she'd be fine. And so I tried to prove how much I loved her. If I had known at that point that she was a narcissist, I could have stopped that. I could have started to focus on myself. I could have started to actually develop a relationship with my father, which was not possible for my whole life until I realized, who she was. There would have been so many things I would have done differently. So many things.
And I think that's what drives us, people like you, people like me, to be a voice. Because I always say you don't know what you don't know. You found this out at 43. You know, I found it out at 26, how all of my belief systems were so wrong and so not my fault. You know, so that's what I want to tell people is like give red flags. You know, you might, your parent might be a narcissist if, and you don't want to diagnose anybody, obviously, and tell people what's wrong, but there are some pretty key red flags when you're dealing with a narcissist. And to know that, like you said, as a child, you might have been like, okay, well, I can't help her, so I got to help myself. And that could have
Exactly.
sped up that whole healing process because in that, you now lived 16 to 43, what, 27 years where you weren't being yourself. You were just kind of, you were, because you were still living with all the traits of having grown up in that dysfunction.
Well, I was lucky actually because I started doing therapy when I was 21, and that's when
Okay.
I realized that something was really wrong. So I have now about, almost 30 years of healing,
Okay.
self-healing practice on my own. But And so I got to work on the patterns and recognizing all of these things and work on them. Thankfully, I'm really glad I could start that early. But there was still that wanting to help her too. I wanted for her to get to the place that I had gotten to. And if I had only known that there was no sense, I could have stopped trying. Yeah.
Yeah, and you not meaning to, you do a lot of damage when you're in an enabling situation. I mean, you're literally sacrificing everything to just make things easy for her, trying thinking you're doing the right thing. So
Exactly.
of course, for the listeners out there who are complete and total enablers in any situation, give yourself some grace, and because that's so important. There's a big difference between helping and enabling.
Huge difference. And
Huge difference.
we won't know until we really know who they are, right? We're not quite sure.
Exactly. So your relationship with your father, did your mother and father live together?
Yes, they live together. They're still married to this day.
Okay. And you did
But,
not have a relationship with him?
well, no, because see, when you live, you probably have that experience yourself as well. Excuse me. When you live with a narcissistic mother, she cannot bear that you have a relationship with anybody else. And
No.
there are very strong feelings of jealousy on her side when she notices that you have a really good relationship with dad. So dad knows unconsciously he's not allowed to have a relationship with his child. And the daughter also knows unconsciously that she's not really allowed to have a close relationship with dad, because then mom tumbles, right? Then mom spins out. Then she feels unloved. Then she feels left out and loved less. And there's all of that drama coming up, and of course we want to avoid that. It's very difficult to handle as a child, and
Yeah.
so we focus on mom. We do that anyhow, right? Because she requires that constant attention, and we will be punished if we don't have our whole focus on mom, and so therefore there isn't even really time to get to know dad.
Yeah, there was a lot of animosity in our house because my father, I always joke and say, I was my father's favorite, but I was the middle child. I had an older brother and a younger sister, and my younger sister was young enough that she was able to not see what, or so we thought at the time, not see what was going on with mom. So we let her have her good relationship with mom while we were kind of like, ah, this is horrible, But so I always used to joke, and I did was very close with my father, and I think it's because my mother
Oh, wow.
voiced to me very openly that she didn't like me. She would tell me every day she wished I was never born and everything. But then when it came time to get divorced, she tried to tell the courts that me and my father were having a quote unquote relationship. I'm like, what? And literally turn it around that badly. So she didn't like it. She absolutely hated it that I had that relationship with my father. But it was, I kind of feel like my little sister took the brunt of that because then she poured all of her attention into getting the attention from her. So, I mean, she was going to get it no matter what, but it's almost like she gave up, like somehow gave up on me, like as far as being
Interesting.
that person that was going to do that, because it was just a weird dynamic, maybe just because I wasn't, I don't know why I don't. And honestly, every situation, every family situation is 100% different dynamics.
Well, there I'm really wondering, if there's a difference between a single child being a family because there are no other people to focus on, and when you have siblings. I wonder if there's a bit more room to develop a relationship with a dad when there are more children in the house, actually.
I mean, it makes
Be
sense that there
interesting.
was because she was consumed with my sister or my brother, or there was individual time. She would have to take my sister somewhere, so I would get to go somewhere with my dad, or she would have to take my brother somewhere. So there was that individual time, and we weren't always together. Like every family, we were split doing different things, and I always had a different vert, like a different. I knew that things were not right. And I turned into a very manipulative child. I mean, I learned from her, so I learned from the best. But I would play them against each other to the point where, I mean, I feel bad about it now, but I was really good at playing both sides of the fence, I guess you could say. But I can see how definitely there could be more of a relationship because, like I said, just because of proximity. If you're the only child, it's you, dad, mom. and there is no room for you to get close. And that's, do you have a relationship with him now?
No, not really, because when I realized that my mom was a narcissist and I could see now what was going on, and I could also see that she had a really bad influence on my children whenever
Okay.
we visited her, I decided that I will not let this happen anymore. And I basically went no contact with her and for many years didn't have any connection with her, which meant that my dad had to choose,
Yeah.
if he was going to want to have a relationship with me in any way, it would have to be secret, which is against his nature. And an open relationship with me while I was broken up with my mom would not have worked unless he divorced her or left her, because he would have been severely punished and his life was already, incredibly miserable. And so it wasn't really po possible to create that relationship.
Right.
We do text, but I can't call because whenever I call, she's there and listens to the conversation. So he can't be who he wants to be with me. He has to basically show that he's against me and with mom. Like he has
Right.
to side. There is no middle ground for that spouse, right?
No. And I mean, for the people listening that have never lived with someone narcissistic, it's a complete control. I mean, you literally can't do anything. I mean, talk a little bit more about some maybe some situations that you could picture that the people might see themselves in and not realize how unhealthy it is.
Oh, that's really vast. Let's see
I know it is pretty, it's pretty big. So
what I want
yeah, that's a pretty broad, that's pretty big. So give one like Friday night scenario. Just
to
pick
of like
one.
when you're living with a narcissistic parent.
Parent or spouse.
Oh, okay. So
Because
something.
some people I don't think even realize the red flags of narcissism and the fact that they might be married to one and they just, and they're just, and especially people that grew up in dysfunction or grew up with alcoholic parents or, addicted parents or
Yes.
just really any kind of major dysfunction, you're already so insecure anyway, and you're so afraid to stand up for yourself anyway, that it's very easy to get manipulated and to get sucked into that kind of relationship.
Okay, now I understand your question better. Thank you for clarifying. Well, I think the lack of accountability is like the biggest red flag, because a narcissist, a full-blown narcissist, will not be able to take accountability for anything. So a scenario might be that, there is something where you have a slight complaint about it. It doesn't even have to be a big thing, but it could be, mom, you knew. Or spouse, you knew I was having a meeting with a friend. How come you're making this elaborate supper for tonight? Right? Like, I won't be able to be here because that I committed to my friend already and you knew.
Right.
Well, that will spark a discussion about, whether your choices are right or wrong. Of course, they're going to be wrong. And that you're not considerate enough to give them your time. And you should have known that today, for some reason, was a special day. So there's this discussion started. There is no, they cannot take accountability for saying, oh my God, I forgot, or yes, you're right. Or they can never say that there's anything they have done wrong. That doesn't exist in their world. So they will turn it around to make you wrong, to make you the one that made the wrong decision. And now on top of that is complaining. How dare you, or how could you, when you ex know exactly how that would affect them and how bad they're going to feel, and you're being heartless. You are, you are just thinking about yourself.
Selfish and
Selfish, you are unlove, you're unloving, you are unkind, you're just mean and cold. So no matter.
thank you so much. That's exactly what I wanted you to do because for the people out there listening, you can put yourself in those shoes. You know exactly what she's talking about. Like, for if you've ever felt that, that is exactly right. So, like you said, you could simply come in and it could be the smallest thing, or you could feel bad about something. And before you know it, it's literally you're apologizing to that person for what's going on when you were just trying to make small conversation. And the word, you're so right. The words I'm sorry, you're right. You will never hear those words uttered. Never.
Right. Or not even, I will think about it. Or, that's an interesting point of view. Like none of that, right? It's always you. And they come down with you on you with such a wrath when you have dared to complain about something or say no to something.
Exactly. And, a lot of people, when they start probably healing and trying to find their voice and starting to set boundaries and stuff. I've had people come to me and be like, Tammy, maybe I'm a narcissist. Maybe I'm, and I'm
Yes.
like, no, we all have the ability to have a narcissistic moment or a thought or a trait. We all have them in us, but that doesn't mean we are narcissistic. There is a huge difference. So I tell people not to worry about that because it's so foreign when you start to set those boundaries or to stand up for yourself or have a voice. It's so foreign that it feels wrong at first because you've been
Does.
told, So talk a little bit about that. Like what permission? You go ahead, because I give my clients permission all the time. Like you go ahead and you feel good about it. They like to hear it from other people.
Yes. Well, we have been conditioned that we are not allowed to have boundaries. That's something my clients run into all the time. That discovery of, am I allowed to have boundaries? I feel like I'm not supposed to, because that would hurt the other person, surely, right? So we've learned to take so much responsibility that we give up boundaries easily. And it is very true. When we start to set boundaries, we feel mean. It feels like, am I not being mean for saying no? Won't that hurt the other person? We have learned with a narcissist that we are hurting them constantly through something we do, through something we don't do, which is why we feel guilty so often. No, I mean, who wants to be the one that hurts another person? Definitely not empathetic people like us who are being sought out usually by narcissists. And so that you've hurt me with your decision, you're hurting me with that look, you're hurting me by saying no, you're hurting me. That is the worst to us. We don't want to hurt them. And so putting up a boundary to us feels like, or the experience we've had in the past, when we do declare a boundary or even just test it, the narcissist says it hurts them. Right. And so we learn that we are not allowed to have boundaries, that having boundaries is what a bad person will do, not a good person. And to unlearn that, or to even start to contemplate that maybe I'm allowed to have boundaries. Maybe boundaries are normal. Maybe yes, maybe sometimes other people will get hurt by a boundary I draw. But that's not really up to me to deal with, right? It is kind of like when I say no to someone who's in love with me, of course that will hurt them when I say, I'm sorry, I don't love you back. But what's there to be done? Right? It's something that they can definitely overcome. It's not we have injured them forever.
Exactly. And once we get the self-esteem and the self-worth inside of us, truly inside of us, we will understand that a boundary is not to hurt the other person. It's to help our own mental well-being.
Yes, exactly.
So, I tell people, because I've had people say, well, I set this boundary and he said he wasn't going to abide by that. Well, that's his choice. Your choice is to be happy and to set the boundary and not to tolerate the action or the talk or whatever it is, it's his choice. So if he decides not to adhere to the boundary, he's making the choice. If he doesn't want to be in your life, he's making that choice. And you're right, that is such a hard concept. I remember one time I actually had a boyfriend and it did not last really long because I think I was 27 and I was definitely at that, or 25. I was definitely at that stage where I was like, no. Soon as a red flag came, I was like, no, I went on a lot of first and last dates, let's put it that way. And I wanted to dress up. I hadn't dressed up in a while. I was working in a restaurant, so I was used to wearing like guy khaki shorts and stuff. So I was like dressed up. And for the first time, I was like, oh, I feel like I really look good. And it was literally the second time we had ever been out together. And he was like, you looking like that, good like that, how is that going to make me feel? Like how are people looking at me and blah 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 blah. And I was like, okay, I'm out. Because right away it was like I felt good about myself, and that was insulting to him. Like he was afraid that I was going to take the attention off of him. And I was like, wow. It was a big, I mean, that was our very last date, to say the
Well, good
least.
for you. You know, good for you that you caught it right away and stopped it instantly. This is actually, such an interesting subject, boundaries, because I have a lot of people tell me, well, how do you set boundaries with a narcissist? Because they won't respect them. How do you make them respect the boundary? And this is where I think we need to understand we cannot make them respect the boundary. A narcissist will never want to respect the boundary because that they will always try to run them down. So they will always try to move over your boundary because they feel entitled to do so, right? And so what
Exactly.
I say, you can only establish a boundary with a narcissist that they will respect if you have something that they want and they can't have it unless they adhere to the rules of the boundary, which might be access to children. Like, my mother wanted access to her grandchildren, and the boundary only worked if I told her, you have to stop this and this and this behavior, or you will not see them again. That was the first phase before I went no contact because I realized even that was not quite possible to protect my children 100%. So, if you have, it might be access to children, it might be connections to friends or family, it might be financial. If you have something that they want and you make very clear, this is my boundary, and if you overstep it, you won't get this. That was the only way that we can get a narcissist to stay outside of that boundary, which is why so many people end up going no contact, right? Because that's not often the case.
So, do you truly believe, after having gone through your 30 years of healing, your experience, can you, is it ever healthy to stay in that type of relationship?
Oh boy.
Maybe I shouldn't even
No,
go
no,
there
no.
because there's people listening that are like, oh, you're telling me I have to get out, but.
No, it's a wonderful question. You know what? I'm curious about that myself. I think that first we have to get out. There is no healing possible when we stay in a close proximity with a narcissist because they keep us in the fight, flight, freeze or fawn mode. Our brain has been conditioned to be in that mode. And so our prefrontal cortex, which makes all the important decisions, can't really come into play powerfully unless we've had a time where we have not been in contact with them so that the brain can literally start to restructure itself, come out of the fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode, and start to act. Actually, go into that capacity of really thinking, of really seeing, of really noticing, so that we can make powerful decisions. I have to say that, after having not seen my mother for a long, long time, not having spoken to her, I started having a connection with her maybe once a week through texting. And that's, I think, the only way that I can be with her, to be honest. I can have a very superficial relationship with her. And even in that place of texting, she will try to overstep her boundaries periodically. But then I'm, in a position to say, hey, mom, if you want this connection with me, back off. And then, she wants the connection with me. And so she will be silent for 3 weeks and not text anything. And after 3 weeks, she will respond with a message as if nothing has happened. And we go on, being really good for a while again until she says something again that is a very narcissistic thing to do, where I have to again remind her, this is the boundary. If you want this relationship with me, back off. I think it is very hard to have even low contact with a narcissist in person. Because no matter how much we have healed, they trigger things. They trigger things in us. And we want to be polite. We don't want to start a big blow up, which means that we're allowing for certain things to slip through, which means they get at us again with their little daggers and their knives. I have yet to find a person who grew up with a narcissist, who has healed so much that they feel completely fine in their presence. I mean, I would love to talk to them and ask them, how do you do it?
So if you're listening here, drop in the comments if you've completely healed from a narcissistic relationship to the point where you can be in contact with them on a regular basis and
In
not
person.
let it bother you. I'd love to hear too, because
Yeah.
I've never, I can't even imagine. I
Yeah.
cannot even imagine it.
In person,
Because
though, because that's the hard thing, right? Like being
exactly.
physically in their presence.
Right. Because it's easy to just pick up the phone and put down the phone for 3 weeks and wait for it to, to blow over. But that's why I was kind of asking you that, because I just can't even fathom. I mean, once, and especially since, I mean, with my history and your history of growing up like that, there's so much else that needs to be dealt with. Okay, even once you get them out, you go no contact, you still need to build back up your self of identity, sense of identity, and your self-esteem and your self-worth and all of these things that you lost. You have to literally retrain your brain completely for that after you just, it's kind of like when an alcoholic stops drinking. Things don't just become good. If your parents all of a sudden, drink for 25 years and then they stop just because they're dry doesn't mean that relationships are mended and your self-esteem is good and those things weren't said. And, none of that, it doesn't just poof. I mean, it would be nice, right?
It
It'd be
would be nice.
amazing, but that's not the way life works. So yeah, I wonder that. I would really love to hear. I'm gonna have to go on a search now to find somebody that is so healed. So if you find someone, let me know. I
I
will too.
totally will, and I will actually be going back for a visit because I really want to see my dad. And so I had to make that tough decision, right? Either I will never see my dad again, or I will have to go back into her presence to be able to see my dad, which is going to happen this summer. And so I'm very curious about, how it will affect me, actually.
Yeah, that's interesting. So those are your tricks. So if someone is in a narcissistic relationship, is that so do you deal with mostly are your clients mostly out of the relationship and dealing now with the repercussions of having been with a narcissist, or are you active? Are they active trying to heal while they're in the situation?
I think my clients are in kind of all stages.
Okay.
Some of them are in a relationship where they don't recognize they're with a narcissist, but they're struggling. Some of them are in a relationship with a narcissist, knowing full well that they're a narcissist and they might be trauma bonded. So I help them get out of the trauma bond. Some of them are about to leave. Some have left and are now, wanting to heal. For some, it is with a romantic partner they have been with. For some, it is parents. So they're kind of like in all kinds of
Kind of
places around
everywhere.
narcissism.
So it's I just love this conversation. I love that you lived it too. Like I not that I love that you lived that. That was a horrible thing to say. I love that you have the experiences. That's kind of how I feel with my I kind of stay in my lane. Like I grew up with an alcoholic father, a drug addicted mother, a narcissistic mother. I mean, those are things that I am so familiar with. And so it's very e not easy for you to help, but you can so relate and have empathy as now you're a coach,
Yes, I
right? Tell
am.
us about so you do all kinds of stuff. Tell us what you do in your business.
Okay. Well, I mostly do one-on-one sessions, and I've
Okay.
just started an app. I'm now part of an app where people can get micro coaching, which is kind of cool because then they can have me, in their pocket when they need me. I do group coaching sessions. I give workshops and also retreats centered around healing, from trauma. Yeah,
Nice.
so.
So you do a little of everything, and you do not
Yes.
just narcissistic trauma, just childhood trauma, just trauma in general.
Yeah, all kinds of trauma, but it's interesting to me that the people that tend to end up with me, realize at some point that they've had a narcissistic parent or they have been in a narcissistic relationship. I think that's kind of how it works now. The universe
I
kind of
think.
orchestrates it that way, that we end up with the people who we can guide on that road that we've been on personally.
Well, and they resonate with your stories. Like, had I not known you and I was just listening to this podcast and I listened to you tell that story, I'd be like, wow, I've been there. I lived that. Like, that makes so much sense. And like a million things are running through my head. And now I know you and there's that connection. I wrote a book called Surviving Alcoholic Parents. People don't question what I do.
Right. Yes.
They're like, okay, she helps either children or adult children who had alcoholic parents, and she knows the lasting effects that are going to be lasting whether until you deal with them.
Yes. I mean,
So.
that's a fantastic, that's a fantastic thing is to find someone, especially when you're dealing with narcissism, but probably any other kind of subject like alcoholism. If you can find someone who does healing, who has gone through the experience themselves, they can understand what you've gone through on a level that others can't. So in my own healing journey, I had fantastic healers for myself, psychologists and coaches. But none of them knew about narcissism. So they were always thinking that my mom had bipolar, BPD, all kinds of other things that they suggested. So I never, they could never pick up on the narcissism, which would have been so helpful if they could have. And even once I understood that my mother was a narcissist and I started talking to my therapist, who was amazing, he didn't really know narcissism at all or what it actually meant, because what they learn is in a textbook. It's a completely different thing than when you have lived with all those subtleties of manipulation and when you know the effect it has on you, right? So if you can talk to someone who's had your experience, that's what makes it so powerful to have that kind of guide in your life. So
It
yes,
really
I
is.
totally get it.
I had a client one time, and she said to me, "I've been going to therapy for like 14 years or 11 years or something." And she goes, "In 18 minutes, you told me more about why I am the way I am." And I said, "Because I've been there. You can read all the books, you can do all the stuff, but unless you've actually lived it." And then I remember going to a therapist, and when I figured out, someone else told me like 6 years later, like, "Yeah, your mom was so narcissistic." And that was like the first time I had ever heard that word. And I was like, "Well, what does that even mean? Like, why didn't my therapist tell me that before?" And so I was like, "I'm gonna ask them, why didn't you tell me that?" And they were like, "Because I never met your mother. I'm not going to diagnose your mother. I never met her. I can't do that by law." And I was like, "Well, you could have told me to read up on it. Like, you could have just dropped the word a little bit." But it changed my life too when I started. And it gave me a lot of grace for myself. It gave me a lot of permission to be angry, like to have felt angry the way I did, because I was kind of like you. I was always trying to help her and make things better and everything else. And once, as an adult, I realized there was absolutely nothing I could do, then I kind of let go of a lot of that guilt of not having helped her more.
Right.
So that was nice too. So,
True. That's
yeah. So tell me, if people want to reach out to you, work with you, talk to you some more, where's the best place they can reach you? This has been amazing.
you so much. They can find me through WhatsApp. We can drop the number in the show notes. They can reach me through Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and yes, I also have a free coffee chat twice a week where people can, talk to me if they have a quick question, and for 20 minutes for free.
Oh, nice. And
We could add that as well.
okay, yeah, if you want to do that, so it's just a free coffee chat link, and we'll put all of this in the show notes for the people listening, so you don't have to remember, you don't have to scribble while you're driving, any of that fun stuff. But also, you said that you were going to offer a free gift, and this one
Yes.
really, I think people will love. Tell them a little more about that.
Yeah, it is a free audio meditation that is, which I call radical self-love, which is really like the very first step we need to take when we've been with a narcissist because we've never really received unconditional love. And so this is an experience. I guide people through an experience to where they can maybe for the first time experience unconditional love towards themselves. And so
Amazing.
I'd be happy to
Yes,
add
and
that
that will
link.
definitely go in the links. That is absolutely amazing. People will love that. Absolutely love that. So if you had to leave, I really appreciate you coming, but before you go, I want you to leave the listeners and assume that they're at all levels of healing. Leave them with a little words of advice or wisdom, something fun.
Okay. Well, I will then use the quote of David White that I really, really love. And he said, "We need to learn to love the parts of ourselves that limp. We need to learn to love those parts of ourselves that limp," which is the healing journey, I think, for everyone. It is falling in love with those parts of us that are not perfect.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh yes, this has been a joy. Maybe we'll have to, I'm going to have you back after you meet with your parents and we can see. We'll do another one on how to
Sure.
reconnect and what happens when you reconnect after a year or so. How long has it been since you've spoke or been with
Oh,
them?
it's been nearly 8 years now that I haven't seen
Wow.
them.
So we'll have to see how that goes. I'm very
Yes,
curious.
me too.
Okay, and for everybody else out there listening, join back in. We have more stories of hope and healing. And if you have any questions, please reach out. All of the freebies, everything is in the show notes. And please, we welcome your questions. We welcome your participation and we welcome your hope and healing. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Trying to stop the recording. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you, or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.